so are you, brains, because we are here on the edge. We're going to Italy today with Julie Medici. I'm so glad to have her talk about women's health and the menopause. I don't know why they call it a pause. It is not a pause. It's just like a straight trajectory to no man's land, but it is a part of the metamorphosis of a woman. You go from infancy to adolescence to puberty to, you know, childbearing years, and then you have to reverse the cycle and shut it all down with menopause. How do we, as women and our spouses that love us so much, deal with this? Because it's a lot going on. Your diet, the sweating, the mood swings, the weight gain, the hair loss, all of that. And then they still want us to be beautiful and love who we are. And they say at 40 years old that we're old hags. No, we're not old hags. But again, it is a part of this evolution. It is a part of what they call the change. So let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Julie?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, April. I'm excited to be here and chatting with you today.
I'm excited to have you here with me. As always, I have the most spectacular guests. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Absolutely. I am an American expat living in Northern Italy. I grew up in a small town in Upper Michigan called Marquette, right there on the shores of Lake Superior. I lived a pretty simple life most of my life. And then things kind of hit the fan. When I was 19, I lost my mother to cancer. And I was a very young 19. I didn't really have much information about making my way in the world. So I learned a lot very quickly after that. But I did take a direct interest in health after that point, because she was actually able to get her cancer in remission while working with a naturopathic doctor. And that told me, and this was back in the early 80s, so this told me maybe there's something to this health stuff. So it was a hobby of mine most of my life. And then in my 30s, mid to late 30s, I started to have my own health crisis. And part of that was because, you know, your 20s and 30s, you think you're invincible and you can just do whatever. So I started going to my doctor. I had gained a lot of weight. I was having, my hair was falling out. My skin was really dry and a terrible color. I just had aches and pains. I've lived with chronic pain since I was 20. So she kept telling me it was related to that. This is part of aging. I thought, I'm only in my 30s. I shouldn't be feeling like this. I had no energy. I couldn't sleep. And I had gained 50 pounds over the course of 3 months. And she finally, after 6 years of going to see her and asking her for help, I'd done a lot of my own research at that point. And I asked her to do some blood tests because I said, I think there's something wrong with my thyroid. And she, my final visit to her, she said, here's a prescription for an ADD medication and the number of a psychiatrist. And I said, why are you giving me ADD medication? I don't have ADD. She said, no, but you're complaining about your weight. And that's one of the side effects. And she said, I think you need to call a psychiatrist because this is all in your head. She wouldn't do the thyroid test I asked her to do. And at that point, I realized I went to her because she accepted my insurance. Mm. It was too expensive to go to a doctor who took cash payments. But I thought, how long, 6 years I'd been paying with my health and my sanity.
Right.
So I finally saved up at that point and went to see a holistic doctor. And when I went in to see him, the first visit was an hour long, so we could really talk and get to know each other. And he said, what brings you here? And I said, well, I think I have a thyroid problem, but my doctor says I don't. And he said, Julie, I can tell by looking at you that you have a thyroid problem. It was like, oh, you know, the choirs of angels sang, and it was like, hallelujah. And that set me on a path and a journey to healing myself. I remember saying to him after a couple of years, you know, thank you so much for helping me get my health better. He said, no. I said, what do you mean no? He said, you did the work. I gave you some guidance, but you did the work. He said, people need to take responsibility for their health. And I really learned a hard lesson at that point about how important it is to stand up for ourselves, to be our own advocates, and to not be gaslighted and sidelined by doctors who don't have the time or energy. Most of the time, it isn't malicious. They just don't know.
Right, because they're practicing medicine. They're doing the very best they can in that 15 minutes that they have an opportunity to see you. And we do have a responsibility to take care of ourselves and not just turn it over. It's like your kids, you know, that, oh, well, the school district is this. No, they're still your children. You have a responsibility to do that. Same thing with your health, same thing with your relationships. So I totally get it. I know when I was going through the menopause, I'm on the other side of it now. I had a hot flash last night. I couldn't believe it right before. I said, I'm going to have to ask Julie about that. I thought this crap was over with. But again, it's going to come and go. But for the most part, diet, my diet, I could tell when I ate a certain thing, I would document it. And then I would see how long it would take for me to react. And I was like, wow. So I was able to eliminate that. But I was also able to journal and give a lot of key information to my physician. Just like you said, you need to tell them, what's happening, what you're eating, how you're feeling. You need to go in there and take full advantage of that 15 minutes.
Absolutely. And the doctor has to have enough information to make good decisions on.
Absolutely.
And you know you're, and here's something else I learned, because when I went to that holistic doctor, he diagnosed me with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune condition. And my antibodies were so high when he did the blood tests that I had been asking my doctor to do. He said, Julie, you've had this for years. And, you know, we can look at these drug commercials and say, oh, I have that and I have that and I have that. That's not taking responsibility to go into your doctor and ask for a drug, because there is no human disorder on this planet that is the result of a pharmaceutical drug deficiency. There are two causes of disease, period. There isn't anything else. The first one is an insult to the body in the form of a virus or an injury or bacterium. That's one. And the other is a nutrient deficiency that causes miscommunication within our cells, within our genes, within the body. And 80% of the disease in the Western societies is lifestyle related. So we have a lot of power and control over our own health. And
well,
we need to take
you know,
responsibility for that.
I don't know. Maybe you got a little bit more control over there in Italy. Our water is contaminated. Okay. Our food is dead 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we consume it. Our vegetables are full of pesticides. We don't exercise. We overindulge. When I went to Italy, you know, people talked about the Mediterranean diet. It's farm to table. That was the first thing. I saw people eating 7 and 8 course meals, and I'm like, what? And they finished it. And then afterwards, they go for a nice leisurely stroll to get some gelato. So it's a whole mindset, too. It's how you prepare yourself. We try to do those things. And if we are conscious and we are, as we use the term now in the African-American community, woke, if you are, you know, aware of what's going on, you can make better choices. Unfortunately, like diabetes, it runs rampant in my family. Can I head it off? No. Can I manage it? Yes. But am I managing it with medication? Well, I'm trying to look at my diet. I really know that I need to lose some weight, but after you've had these long-term effects or impact on your kidney, on your liver, on your blood pressure, sometimes those things are irreversible. So now you look at a woman and her, you know, going through this right now, what are some of the key signs and symptoms that you have seen that women experience when they're headed towards premenopause?
Well, it's really interesting, because here are a few facts about menopause that most people don't know. Every woman experiences it differently. There aren't two, I don't say cases because I deal with clients, not patients, but there aren't two people who are the same. It depends on so many individual factors. However, there are some of more common symptoms, but there can be some really strange and uncommon symptoms as well. The ones we see typically, and this journey can start as early as your 30s.
Right.
So this
or
isn't
if you've had if you've had a surgery, if you've had, you know, fibroids, or you have endometriosis, or you've had to have a hysterectomy, or yeah, so it can start early.
Yeah, and it can be naturally induced or it can be medically induced. And the other thing is perimenopause can start, you know, anywhere from your 30s onwards. And menopause itself is actually one day. Menopause is the 365th day without a menstrual cycle. Everything after that is postmenopause. So we call it all menopause just for ease of reference, but a lot of people don't differentiate those things, and our bodies are changing. So we're going to continue this phase of our lives until we die. This is not a part of our life. What really gets me is that this part of our lives is being treated as a medical condition. It's not a medical condition. As you said before, April, it's just like adolescence and puberty and childbearing years. Menopause is a phase of life. So understanding that this is an opportunity for us. I mean, yay, go on vacation, ovaries, you don't need to work anymore. But there are some things that we experience. So we can start with having some brain fog issues. We can start with having some weight gain or discomfort. Our body preferentially puts weight around our belly in menopause because our ovaries aren't producing estrogen anymore. So there's a type of estrogen that's stored in the belly fat called estrone. And so our bodies actually need that extra body fat in order to have some hormonal protection, because estrogen has some really health protective effects.
Well, I'm sure glad you explained that to me. You know, so now I know that that's estrone and it's not margaritas and enchiladas. Yeah, those enchiladas and margaritas can do it to you. But you don't have to deprive yourself of things. Now, we're going to go into diet in just a second, but I also want to talk about, as much as you can talk about, synthetic hormonal replacement. Not the particular drug, but what that actually does to the body that helps us adjust versus now what we will have to do as a lifestyle change by going holistic. It's easy to pop a pill and wait 30 minutes, sure. You know, and you know, everything be hunky-dory. But when you are serious about this and you're ingrained and you know that you're at 45, 50, or unfortunately sometimes 30, and you know this has got to be your gig for the long term, and you got to be on these minerals and supplements and have a mind shift change. What's the differences there?
Well, there are a lot of questions in that question. And the first thing I will say is I am holistically focused. I'm certified as a holistic health practitioner, as well as a menopause coaching specialist and a master health coach. One of the things that happens when we take synthetic vitamins or synthetic hormones is that our body has receptors, our cells have receptors for these natural substances that we're used to getting either through our food or through our body's own production. And those receptors fit together perfectly like puzzle pieces. What happens is when you get a synthetic, because natural substances can't be patented, when you get a synthetic drug or hormone or vitamin, it doesn't fit right. And so it has like extra pieces that don't fit into the cell receptors properly. And those end up floating around your body and your body doesn't know what to do with them. And sometimes the liver can process them out. And sometimes they get stored in your fat cells because your fat cells act as a buffer. So the more toxins you take in, whether that's through excessively processed food or synthetic vitamins that you get at the cheap drugstores or synthetic hormones, the more you have that, a lot of times it becomes difficult to lose fat because your fat cells are expanding to protect your body from these foreign invaders. So bioidentical hormones aren't necessarily for everyone, but if you can find a good functional medicine doctor or a holistic doctor who's willing to work with you and find the synthetic or bioidentical hormones that work well for you, it can make a huge difference for a lot of women. And you don't have to be on massive doses. And sometimes it's just a little bit to help you through that decline period. Because, and again, it's important because our risk of heart disease goes up, our risk of osteoporosis goes up, our risk of dementia goes up because we lose those protective effects of estrogen. So bioidentical hormones can be really effective. The best thing that you can do is, I actually work with some of my clients and we set a menopause vision statement. And that may sound kind of weird, but we can decide how we want to experience menopause. A lot of times we start to get some of these less positive symptoms and we think, oh, this is the end of it. You know, we lose that feeling of femininity. We feel like, I don't know, just like a train wreck some days. And we're going to have those days. But when we can start to face this phase of our life as a period of reinvention, face it with childlike curiosity, start paying attention to what your body is telling you, and then you can start experimenting with different foods. Our bodies won't respond to things the same because they're not the same bodies. And a lot of times when we get into this phase of our life, we might be gaining weight, we might be having some brain fog. We try to do the things that we used to do when we were younger, and we find they don't work, right? And then we get frustrated.
No shit, Sherlock.
Exactly. We get frustrated thinking, what the hell, right? So it's important to be willing, to be curious, to experiment, to find.
There are two key elements that we don't give as much attention to, and that is stress and sleep. Can you speak on that?
Absolutely. Managing stress is probably the number one thing you can do to improve your health, because a lot of our ailments are stress related. When our bodies are designed to produce our stress hormones through our adrenal glands, when we have periods of stress, like running from the tiger, right, in our ancestors' years. But what they're designed to do is then go back down and let our body go back into homeostasis, right, into balance, into a calm state. And with all of our busyness that we have to run here, run there, jam-pack things into our schedule, try to do too much, stress out because we can't get it all done, what happens is those stress hormones stay at their peak. And when that happens, our body shuts down a lot of its other systems. We don't digest our food properly. We don't absorb nutrients properly. Our body isn't able to clean and repair and do all of the things that it's supposed to be doing when we're not stressed. And that can also interfere with our sleep. It can interfere with our appetite. It can interfere with our hormones during menopause. It can cause hot flashes. It can lead us into anxiety attacks, and it can lead us into mental distress. And when we don't sleep properly, sleep is when we burn the most fat. Sleep is when our body stores memories into the right place in our brain so we can recall them. Sleep is when our digestive system cleans. Sleep is when our cells regenerate, when the old cells are getting ready to be sent out of our elimination system. All of those things happen when we sleep. And I understand and appreciate the fact that when you're having hot flashes, it may not be that easy to sleep, but at least learning how to relax through them, doing some breath work, doing some other things that can help you calm that stress response so that you can at least rest, if not get restful sleep, it will make a tremendous difference in your health. And
yeah,
magnesium is a great mineral to take for sleep. I would say 99.9% of people are magnesium deficient.
I hear that a lot. So what I did was I was going to go get a tincture, for magnesium because it works quicker. But I take magnesium baths. I put a couple big magnesium salt granules and sit there and soak because it goes directly into the biggest organ of your body, which is your skin. And I think
Exactly.
it's wonderful. Thank you so much for those tips. And the sleep is so important. You lose weight, everything. And if you have sleep apnea, go and get it done. No, it's not the most attractive thing to sleep in, but once his eyes or her eyes are closed, you don't have to worry about it till you wake up in the morning. But definitely get that taken care of because that affects your blood pressure, your heart, a lot of problems that you have. Thanks for that, Julie.
You bet. Make changes slowly. Stop
Right.
expecting quick results. Your body is going to shift, and your healthy, fit, vibrant body is going to look different at 50 than it did at 40. And that's okay. As
Right.
long as we can embrace that. And one of the things I work the most deeply with my clients on is mindset,
Right.
right? Because when you think, every thought you have releases neurochemicals from your brain, and those neurochemicals from positive thoughts are very health supporting. Those neurochemicals from that inner bully or that badass drill sergeant that you continue to beat yourself with is producing neurochemicals that are not health supporting and can actually be damaging to our health. So
Absolutely,
we,
absolutely.
I say, don't believe everything you think, right?
Right, exactly. And the outside influences too. When you are going from a flicker to a flame, you know that when you are on edge, your kids are getting on your nerves, it's a problem. Intimacy can also be a problem. Vaginal drying. I
Absolutely.
know when I was having those hot flashes, I would want the room Arctic, and my husband would be bundled up with the cover. You don't want your skin, your flesh to be touched. It's a lot that goes on. So also, even with having a menopause coach such as yourself, even with experimenting with different holistic options, you might need to check in with a support group, with a counselor, psychiatrist. Don't think that you're above that, because you're not. It's like women that go through postpartum. They don't know why they don't like this little bundle of joy. They don't know why they look at themselves with self-loathing when they lactate. You don't understand these things. So you also have to work with other professionals. Have a team, a support team, other women. Have that
100%.
conversation, and not just just a hag session, just whiny, whiny, whiny. Look for solution seekers, not just problem describers. Because as Julie said, we're all going to go through this. If you were born with a uterus, you are going to go through some sort of change. You can't help it. That's just the way that it is. So
Well, yeah.
let's talk about some fun stuff, though. So,
Sure.
as you have evolved, give us one of your best success stories that you've had with one of your clients that was just an aha moment.
I this one, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of which one to share. I worked with a woman from Canada, and she is in her second marriage and was having a lot of issues with emotional eating. Her body's changing. She's had a couple of kids. She's very successful professionally. She has an executive position. And she couldn't get away from sitting in front of the TV and eating popcorn or chips and drinking wine because that was her way to unwind at the end of the day.
That
And
was
she was having all
her
kinds of.
entertainment. That's what my girlfriend says. She says, "Are you eating for
Yeah.
entertainment?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
We all do it. And by the way, as a health coach, I'm not perfect. I still have my little emotional eating episodes, and it's just, but I've learned how to check in with myself to not get that, let that go down this spiral. But this woman, She said, I don't like strength training. Strength training is critical at this age and this stage of life. And that doesn't have to be pumping iron like Arnold Schwarzenegger, by the way. There are plenty of ways that you can build strength and do functional movements that are actually fun.
Right.
And so I do these, we call them metabolic conditioning workouts. So they're 20-minute short strength training workouts. And when she first signed on with me, she said, I don't like strength training. I don't want to lift weights. You know, I don't know how I'm going to give all this stuff up. We started with mindset, and about the when in my 90-day program, the first 6 weeks, we focus on mindset. We don't even talk about food. And by the end of the first month, she said, I love all this touchy-feely stuff, but when are we going to get to the meal plan? When are we going to get to the diet? I said, we aren't. I don't do meal plans. I don't do diets because they don't work. Diets have an end date. Your health doesn't. You can't put your health on hold until you are done doing other things.
Right.
So she said, okay. I said, trust the process. So just let me ask you to trust the process. If you're not convinced by the end of this program, we'll talk about, you know, what's next. So by the time we finished the mindset work and we got into the nutrition habits, she just on her own, without forbidding or, you know, intending to make major changes, she just stopped having her chips and popcorn in front of the TV. She started by substituting some cut up vegetables or some fruit or just not having anything. And she said, I did it and I didn't die. I said, awesome. Fabulous.
Absolutely.
And by the end of the program, she had bought a whole set of weights because she loved the workout so much because they're quick and fun. And when I talked to her afterwards, she said, I don't have aches and pains anymore. I feel in control around food. I've realized that I can set boundaries and that's okay. And if I need time for myself, I can say to my husband or my kids, I'm going upstairs for 20 minutes. I'll see you in a bit. She said, I've stopped feeling like I have to do everything for everybody else first. Who wants to live like that?
Nobody.
I said, exactly. Exactly. Also, but that's the way we're raised.
Right. But that's another thing. That's another key thing. Brains, you need to be able to offboard some things. Learn how to delegate. It gets to a certain point where your children are 14, 15. Let them join you in the kitchen.
Yes.
You know? Ask the husband to fold the clothes while you wash. Ask, you know, the neighbor, can she babysit so you can just have a few hours of me time? We also have to decompress so that we can reset. And I have no problem doing that. After we get finished with this interview, I have a massage schedule.
Awesome.
I take the time to take care of me, because if I am completely depleted, there's nothing left for anybody else.
Exactly. And I tell people, you know, first of all, you know the saying, you can't pour from an empty cup.
That's
very
right.
True. I don't think we should even pour from a full cup. I think we should pour from the saucer where everything is overflowed.
That's right.
From our full cup. That's where we pour from. Because then we stay full, we stay recharged, we stay vibrant. And then we have what we need to give others. And the other thing I will say to the brains is, don't think you have to do everything. If everything is urgent, then nothing is urgent. And there are a lot of things we feel compelled to do, we think we have to do, we think we need to do, that actually don't even need to be done at all.
Right.
Right.
And that's like, I always say that, you know, the busy person. Oh, I'm so busy, busy, busy doing what? Are you impactful? Are you making a difference? Because you can do one or two things and make the world of difference versus always being busy. That's something that we have programmed ourselves as women to do. But now there's a different light that shines upon us. We are in the age of Aquarius, where it's much kinder and gentler. We're all still thawing out after COVID. What I call the perfect pause because everybody was in timeout. I don't care whether you liked it or not. Everybody was in timeout. That was an opportunity for us to really reset. During that time, Julie, what did you learn about yourself?
Oh, gosh.
Job, your health? What did you learn during that pause?
I learned that when you can do anything you want, you often don't want to do anything. And that was a hard lesson for me, because I had all these grand plans for all this downtime, all the things I said I'd never had time to do. And we did for a while. We were just, oh, this is great. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. But then after a while, it didn't feel very purposeful. We were doing things just to be doing things.
Mechanical.
And so it was tough, because we ended up kind of stepping back and, you know, having wine at every night and, you know, doing things like we were on vacation. And that wasn't health supportive either.
Were you in Italy during the pandemic? Because Italy was the first place that we had a cruise scheduled, and it went rampant. Nobody knew what was going on, and I bet it was pretty scary.
It was quite scary. We were in the worst part hit. We live in the worst hit region of Italy, in Lombardia. And it was, we were on lockdown in the house for 4 months. And we're lucky we had a house. Think about people living in small apartments who don't get to go outside. I mean,
Absolutely.
That was just,
it was
yeah.
crazy.
So,
now
it was nuts.
Let's get back to the fun questions.
Yes.
If you were an appliance in the kitchen, Julie, what appliance would you be?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll just say this because it's my favorite appliance. I would be an Instant Pot.
Really? Why is that your favorite appliance?
Because in the same day with my Instant Pot, I can make yogurt, I can make soup, I can roast a chicken, I can make bone broth.
Wow.
I can do all sorts. It's very versatile. It's skilled. It saves me so much time. I use that at least 3 times a week.
Wow.
I can make a black bean chili with dried beans in under an hour.
Wow, I'm gonna have to check out the Instapot. I think I wanna be the refrigerator. I just wanna sit back and chill. Just want to chill. If you could time travel, land anywhere, past, present, future, where would you go?
I would want to meet Abraham Lincoln.
Why do you want to meet Abe?
I want to meet Abe because I think he was an amazingly great man. He failed in his life and livelihood so many times. So many times. And still continued to go forward, still continued to reinvent himself, still continued to build himself. And then we know what he was able to accomplish as president. And
but we also know how he was taken out because of his commitment to excellence and fairness. And that's a lot like life right now. You know, people will take you out. So you have to stand strong. And he knew it. He stood strong to his convictions. I think I want to go futuristic.
Yeah, where do you want to go?
Yeah, 3,000. Girl, I want to see how they're wearing their hair. If they're probably making love at touching foreheads. You know, you never know what's going on. What the fashion's going to be like. Yeah, I think I want to go forward. If you were a flower in the garden, what flower would you be?
I would be an iris.
Hmm.
That was my mother's favorite flower. And around here, we have them growing. Some are growing wild. And there's a street where we walk with the dog, and it's probably 100, 150 feet long, maybe even more. And it's all iris. And they're just getting ready to bloom. And purple is my favorite color. In case you didn't notice, I've got purple hair, purple
Absolutely.
nails, purple shirt.
I know. Well, that's the color of royalty. Absolutely. If your
This was
word,
my 60th birthday present to myself.
well, you deserve it. Absolutely. If your words had an odor, what would they smell like?
Peppermint. I love peppermints.
Yeah, mine would be caramel. I like that. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Definitely a dog.
Yeah.
I love dogs. I love their loyalty. I love their unconditional love. And I must have been a dog in another life because whenever we're out walking with ours or even without ours, if there are other dogs, they will actually pull their owners across the street to come to me.
I
I
get
love
it.
dogs.
I know. And dog is God spelled backwards. Absolute love. What are you pouring into your children these days? What are some of the value points?
I don't have children, but I do have a grandson and a granddaughter on the way.
Oh boy. Well, you got something to prepare for. Okay. So what sort of wisdom are you going to impart into them?
The biggest message I wish I would have received is it's okay to be exactly who you are. You don't need to apologize. You don't need to hide. You don't need to shrink. Take up the space you were meant to take up on this earth because you have gifts to offer and the world needs them.
That's beautiful. And it's very simplistic. You don't have to overthink it, brains. You really don't. We spend too much time analyzing and reanalyzing and justifying and making excuses for things. It is what it is. And I'm telling you, as you deal with Generation Y and Generation Alpha, they will tell you in a heartbeat, I want it in bite-sized pieces. I don't care to know all about Abraham Lincoln's entire life. I don't need to watch Hamilton. All I need to know is what's the results. He was president. He freed the slaves. He was assassinated. Next topic. That's kind of how the world is going, especially with artificial intelligence. People are afraid of AI. I say, don't be afraid of AI. Learn how to use it, embrace it, and make it your friend. I remember my mother used to tell me all the time, "Ooh, that Facebook and that internet is the devil." Well, we have seen it's been devilish, but could you imagine not having that technology while we were going through the pandemic?
Oh my gosh.
It saved
And
so many lives.
it did. And living so far from all of my family, my husband is English, so all of his family are in the UK, and of course my family are all back in the US. How else do we keep in touch? Nobody
Exactly.
writes letters anymore.
No, they don't. But I'm glad that you are touching individuals, especially women, in a very sensitive, delicate, beautiful way, like an iris, that it is spontaneous, that it works quickly, that you can brew it up like an Instapot. But also, we need to be loyal. We need to be loyal like dogs. So I appreciate everything that you do. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Julie, to work with you. Brains, don't worry about her being in Italy. She is a point and a click away. There's online programs. You can join her through her Facebook group, her website, her challenges, all that and above. Please give them your information, Julie.
Sure, I am on Facebook and Julie is spelled Juli. That would be the only thing I would warn. And Madacey is Madacey. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram at Julie's Playgrounds. I'm on LinkedIn. My website is evexiahealth.com, and that's EVEXIA health, one word, .com. Evexia is a word that is Greek and it means well-being. Because I believe we all deserve to live vibrant, healthy, happy lives. And if anybody is interested, I do have a free mini course because one of the things I know people have asked me for support with is self-sabotage. And I have a great free mini course that's called the sabotagesolution.com. You can go and register for free. You can binge watch it in about 45 minutes or just watch a lesson a day. Got workbooks in there. I've got a link to book a call with me if you're interested. I
Great,
love to
go in
talk
and
to
check it
people.
out. You're sitting there griping, maybe having your menopausal moment, sweating, angry, eating. And then you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, you know what? I don't want this anymore. Or how do I manage it? It may not go away, but how do I go on the exploration? How do I go on the journey to wellness? And it starts with the first step. So thank you so
It
much,
does.
Julie, for being here on
Thank you.
the edge with me and my brain. I want to thank you. I want each one of you to go in and like, love, share, and subscribe to Julie and my page. We need that support. I want people to know what you're thinking. Leave a comment, okay? If it's not for you or you have other suggestions or ideas, toss them out there so that we can have the conversation. That's how we grow, develop, and get better. She can tell you what's going on in Italy because I'm telling you, brains, they got some stuff going on over there with herbs and spices and quality of life that is far different than here in the United States. So, again, thank you so much for being on the edge with me. Brains, do your due diligence. We want you to live a happy, healthy, sexy life. Bye, Julie.
Bye, thank you.